This is episode 497 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. There's been not a whole lot of news still, at least on the Rangers front. Other teams have been signing players. Stephen Matz has signed. All kinds of other people have signed. Still waiting on the Rangers to get some deals done. But it doesn't matter. There's still lots to talk about. That means there's lots of possibilities. And today, prepare yourself. I'm going through the worst case scenario for what this offseason could look like for the Texas Rangers. Yeah, not exactly a happy episode, but I'm still going to be realistic. It's not going to be Rangers move the team to Las Vegas or Oakland or some nonsense like that. But going to be very realistic. And, you know, it still would make this team better than last year and more fun to watch than last year. But this is one scary scenario the Rangers could get into. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked on to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here covering the Texas Rangers, finding out what's going to happen with the Rangers this offseason. It's going to be a huge franchise-defining offseason. They're pulling out of the rebuild, and it takes multiple good offseasons to do it. And here is one scenario where the Rangers don't do that. But first, thank you for making Locked On Rangers your very first listen of the day. If you're not subscribed on YouTube, please go ahead, subscribe on YouTube. Just search Locked On Rangers. Find the one where they're talking about baseball, not hockey, and you'll get all the good content that you love to listen to. And you can also see me, and I think that's better. My mom tells me that it's better to see my face than to not see my face. I don't know. Make your decisions on your own. But whatever way you're consuming this content, thank you for listening or watching or subscribing or not subscribing. Just hanging out. Now, let's lay out the groundwork for this offseason. The Rangers are going to, they have $51 million in payroll committed, according to Fangraphs, for next year so far on the books. Now, let's be generous and give them $60 million to work with. They've said $100 million is as much as they can add to the payroll. I don't think that's anywhere near likely. Maybe I'll go with $100 million, take them at their word for the best case scenario that I'll be doing on Friday. But for now, let's say 60, more than doubling it. I feel like that's fairly generous. It puts them $13 million more than last year's payroll, which was at $98 million and was one of the lower third. They were 20th in payroll at $95 million, according to Spotrac. I'm not sure. I still don't have any idea how to announce it or to pronounce it. League average with $128 million last year for payroll. The Cleveland Guardians were at $50 million. They were the low point. So yeah, hopefully the Rangers aren't they aren't going to be that low. If they don't get signed anybody, then that's where they'll be, and that would be not great. Not great at all. But yeah, just above the Rangers was the Milwaukee Brewers, and just below them were the Diamondbacks. That's pretty rough that that the Diamondbacks were that bad. Both of these teams were that bad with this much payroll. A lot of the Rangers' payroll, or at least a significant chunk, I should say, went to paying players that are not on the Rangers in Rigoberto Odor and Elvis Andrus, and eventually Joey Gallo, and eventually Kyle Gibson. So by the time that they were still there at the end of the season, I think Isaiah Kiner-Falefa might have been the highest paid player. That feels really rough to say. Actually, it might have been Jose Leclerc. Not exactly sure. But not a whole lot of high paid players. Nobody making, what's the amount of money that would be $10 million a year? No one's making $10 million a year. Some figure with the amount of numbers and commas in there that requires me to do too much math. So I'm not going to do it because this is my podcast and I don't have to do math if I don't want to. This is a math class. Anyway, let's look first at where these Rangers targets would sign and what that would force the Texas Rangers to do. So in this scenario, which honestly, it doesn't feel like a worst, it feels like an almost likely scenario. Clayton Kershaw and Corey Seager go back to the Dodgers. I feel like that's perfectly likely. I mean, they both like winning. The Dodgers value them. They have endless money. And, you know, it kind of showed that Gavin Lux wasn't quite ready to be the full-time second baseman or shortstop, whatever it was that he would be doing, and move Trey Turner over to shortstop. Plus, they need him. They need his bat. Obviously, their bats came up short. They needed every single bat that they could, and they couldn't beat the Braves in the NLCS. They need him. They need Clayton Kershaw. They need every arm in their rotation. They really missed him, not having him in the playoffs. So they would most definitely need those two guys. I say Carlos Correa goes to Detroit. I feel pretty confident in that, like a 10-year, $300 to $350 million deal. Maybe he gets more than 10 years. I'm not sure. But I feel pretty confident that the Tigers are going to pony up a whole lot of money for him. He feels comfortable with A.J. Hinch. Spent a lot of his time playing for A.J. Hinch. So a move to Detroit seems likely. I don't know if that's a downgrade over moving. I would say that's a downgrade moving from Houston. But honestly, you could pay me $300 million and I would live anywhere for 10 years while I'm making those $300 million. I feel pretty confident in saying that. Now this next one, so we got the two biggest shortstops off the board. And then we have one team that hasn't been mentioned a whole lot, but is going to spend a lot of money, I think, this offseason. And I don't know that they've been linked to Trevor Story, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and got him. I think the Seattle Mariners could sign Trevor Story. So in this scenario, Trevor Story is signing with the Mariners. Seiya Suzuki signs with the Pirates. Shows that he's willing to go to a bad team, just not the Rangers. That would make me incredibly sad. And then let's say that Marcus Semien goes back to Toronto, which I'd be happy about. If he doesn't go to the Rangers, I would like him to go back to Toronto, have them go all in on it, and really try and challenge those big monsters in the AL East, because I think they can hang with them. And, you know, I'd like to see him try. I like seeing teams try, which is why it's been frustrating watching the Rangers this year. Because, I mean, there was some trying, but there was no thought of competition on this team this year. But I'm going to take a quick break when we come back. Let's look at who the Rangers would sign, what they would do in this scenario where all of their biggest targets signed in other places, right after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You know, I love Thanksgiving, all the good foods and tasty treats, and there's plenty of them. But maybe you want something that's yummy, that isn't full of calories and sugar for your dessert? That's the perfect time for Built Bar. You can feast on something delicious, and you can feel really great about it instead of pie. Sorry, I have a war against pie. I have officially taken my stance on this. Pie has up to 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars only have 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, with plenty of protein. Come on, pie. How many protein pies are there out there? And if there are some, they probably don't taste nearly as good as Built Bar. They're low calorie, low fat, high protein, low carb as well. These Built Bars, not pies, not pies. And not all pies are covered in 100% real chocolate. That's crazy. You can share some of your family gatherings and make things maybe less awkward. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried Built Bar yet. I'm done, Betty. I'm done trying to convince you. If you haven't tried one yet, like, what are you even doing? So you can share some at your family gatherings. New surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly. So check the site often, because there's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Not just some, all sorts. So go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Now, set the bar, set the scene. Rangers free agents have gone other places. We're in a dark time. Very dark time. This has been a while coming. At this point, I'm assuming in this scenario, let's say my prediction from yesterday's episode holds up and the lockout is done January 9th or something. So, all these big name free agents that just signed, I say they would sign after the new CBA has been agreed to. So let's say starting like January 10th is when these guys start signing. They start signing left and right and left and right. And the Rangers just freak out. Like, oh my God, all these guys are gone. Who is left on the board? Who is left on the board? What big name can we bring in? We need somebody. We told these guys we're going to bring in somebody. We've got to spend money on someone. Who's left? Well, that'd be Javi Baez. Javi Baez is left. And that scares me. That scares me tremendously. I like Javi Baez. I was a Javi Baez defender when he came up with the Cubs. He was fun. He still is fun. He was raw defensively. The strikeout thing, I think, got overblown at first. And then I thought, maybe it didn't. But he is a bat speed first guy. He is not a lot of walk guy, for that is saying it mildly. He does not walk. He does not walk. It is not in his nature to walk. It is not in his nature to hit for a lot of average necessarily. He has a .264 batting average and a .307 on base for his career in 862 major league games. But Javi Baez is at least younger than Trevor Story. But he's not young. He is 28 years old. He turns 29 on December 1st. He's a former first-round pick, which I forgot that he was a first-round pick. He's from Puerto Rico, ninth overall. Won a World Series with the Cubs. A guy who has a prolific career and has been finished second in MVP voting in 2018. Was a two-time All-Star. Won a Gold Glove in 2020. Won a Silver Slugger in 2018. That same year that he earned his first All-Star bid and was second in MVP voting. He had a really great year that year. 34 home runs that year. 40 doubles, 9 triples, hit .290, OPS of .881, which is his career best mark. Those 34 home runs were his career best mark as well. He only hit 30 home runs one time since then. He did hit 29 the next year, but he hit 31 this year with an .813 OPS, playing a lot of second base this year. Once he went to the Mets, was playing primarily shortstop with the Cubs because, you know, he was the Cubs shortstop. That's just what he was. But for guys who like this who don't walk, that's always scary. It doesn't usually last. Those are some of the first things to go. It's guys with power and guys who don't walk. Those are the scary guys you are feel concerned about signing to long contracts. But then again, Shin-Soo Choo was an on-base guy who had a little bit of power. And that contract went south really fast, too. So maybe nobody knows anything. That's entirely possible, especially me. It's very impossible for me to know nothing. But I have extreme concerns of a guy who has just such a minuscule walk rate. This year, he had 28 walks in the whole year. 30 is his career high for walks in a year. 30 walks. And that year, he played 145 games. He has been fairly durable. He played in 138 games this year, which is pretty nice. Played in 160 in 2018, played in 138 in 2019. Played in 59 games that went terribly for him in 2020. Had a below 600 OPS, 599, so very close below that. Slugged only 360. Hit .203 on base of .238. Like, that is some scary stuff. He would immediately be the Rangers' shortstop, and he would be the best player on the team last year. He did have a very solid season, had a 4.5 WAR, according to Baseball Reference last year. So would immediately be the best player on the Rangers, would have been the best player on the Rangers last year outside of Joey Gallo. Actually finished with a higher WAR for the full season, I think, than Joey Gallo. But I think if Joey had stayed here, he wouldn't have had that drop off like he did with the Yankees. But this is not about Joey Gallo, because Joey Gallo is not coming here this offseason. Definitely not in my worst case scenario. So what kind of deal does it take to get him? I think it would take 8 years, $240 million. If he was the last one there and the Rangers and somebody else were bidding on, if there was literally anybody else that wanted a big shortstop and had missed out on the other three, it would take a big bidding war. And it would take a big bid from the Rangers to get him. And I honestly think that he can get an 8-year deal. He'd be 37 when that deal is done. And that's a little scary. But, and let's see, 8 years, $240 million. So that's a $30 million average annual value. Let's say that the salary is exactly $30 million each year. That's half of the money that is allocated for the team in this specific scenario. So that puts them at $81 million, and there is $30 million left. So that's their big move. That's their big splashy move. And there's a lot of parts of this team to upgrade. You'd need at least two starting pitchers. You probably need at least one. You've got to get at least one more bat. I think it's going to be in the outfield, someone to play left field. But who's available? Who's available that the Rangers can afford? They've already spent $30 million on Javi Baez. So that takes out a whole lot of options in the outfield. Nick Castellanos, nope, he's not going to. Unless you want to spend the rest of your budget, you can't sign any starting pitchers. You want to spend the entire rest of your budget on him or Michael Conforto or Vicio Garcia. I don't think you do that. Or Jorge Soler. I don't think you do that either. Because he's a DH, unless you feel good about playing Willie Calhoun a whole bunch and you feel confident in some of the guys who came up towards the end of last season being in your rotation next year, which I can't say that I do feel good about that. I feel good about two starters. Said that multiple times. I feel good about two starters in this rotation for next year, Dane Dunning and Taylor Hearn. But in this case, if you were to build a starting rotation just on guys that the Rangers have in their system next year, Colby Allard would be in that rotation. Then you maybe you can stick with AJ Alexi. You give Spencer Howard and not Kyle Cody, not Jake Latz, probably, because they're probably gone. Glenn Otto, do you feel good about that? I don't feel good about that. But yeah, so that takes them out of any of these other major bats. But I'm going to take a quick break, look at which other bat I think they would sign in this scenario and the rest of the pitching staff right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. You know, it's Thanksgiving. We all know what that means. Football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and also betting. BetOnline has you covered for all the holiday season. More props and odds and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving and also not during Thanksgiving, also before and after Thanksgiving. So head to our new updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, and your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline. We are stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. Now, the Rangers in this scenario have signed Javi Baez to a massive deal that will almost assuredly go south, maybe even quickly. I don't know. This is just a scary scenario where they sign Javi Baez. I started in a rough place, and it honestly doesn't get all that much better. Who would they sign to be their outfield bat? Who is available? Who is here on a contract you can get? Well, let's say Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham is a guy who has played for several teams, most recently San Diego Padres. Had a down year last year, had a pretty bad 2020, had a couple good seasons with the Rays, and was with St. Louis for a few years before that. Has had a decent career, has never really gotten paid. He's 33 years old. I'm going to be 34 next year. So let's say this is, what would it take to get him here and bet on your new coaching staff that they can turn him around like they did some of the older veterans that were assumedly washed with San Francisco last year? Well, let's say 3 years, $30 million. That's $10 million and average annual value. Last year, it wasn't super great for him. The last good season he had was in Tampa Bay when he was 31. 145 games there in 2019. Had a 818 OPS that season for the Rays, 21 home runs, 33 doubles, 25 stolen bases, an on-base of 369. He's been a good on-base guy for his career, 364 career on-base percentage for 732 games in 8 years. A career OPS of 810, so his slugging is 447 for his career. It's been pretty solid. An average 162 game season for him sees him hitting 21 home runs and 25 doubles, and also stealing, 20 bases? So not as much on the base pass as of late. Did have 14 stolen bases, but was caught stealing six times. Not a super great rate there, but would be a fairly big bat. Is a right-handed outfielder. Plays okay defense. He's fine in the outfield. definitely wouldn't be playing the outfield towards the end of that contract. But yeah, that's the other big splash that the Rangers would make in this scenario. So that's $10 million average annual value. Payroll at this point is at $91 million. There is $20 million left. Now, you got to get two starters. You got to get two starters. Who are you going to get? Well, let's look at the top guys. And no, none of these guys can be had for the $20 million that we have left. Well, I guess they could be gotten for the $20 million we have left. There is still Kevin Gausman, a Carlos Rodon, which, I don't know. We'll see about that. Robbie Ray definitely cannot be gotten along with another pitcher unless you're literally getting someone off the scrappiest of scrap piles. So let's look a little further down. Let's go, let's say these top guys all get signed. John Gray signed, Stroman, Robbie Ray, Kershaw, Rodon, Gausman, Scherzer, all those guys signed. Alex Cobb signed. Anthony DeSclafani has actually signed a 3-year deal with the San Francisco Giants to remain there. Maybe Alex Wood's an option. I don't think so. I don't think he would consider the Rangers. There's not a whole lot of people considering the Rangers. So, what can the Rangers do? What can they do? Well, they can do one of their off-the-scrap heap multiple-year deals, try and rebuild somebody. And I have a concern that they might go for Chris Archer. He's a two-time All-Star who is well past his prime. He was an All-Star in 2015 and 2017 with the Rays. Was traded to Pittsburgh in 2018. Did not really work out for them. Had a 4.30 ERA in his best half season with them in 52 innings. Then had a 5.19 ERA in 119 two-thirds innings in 2019. Did not pitch in 2020. Didn't pitch much in 2021. Maybe this is the deal that I should be flipping to a 1 year as opposed to a 2 year. I'm not sure. One of these next two deals is a 1 year and one's a 2 year. All of them are going to be average annual value of $10 million. But let's say Chris Archer in this case is the one with 2 years on it, because he's going to be 33 next season. He finished the season on the 60-day IL and just did not pitch much. 19 and a third innings this year with a 4.66 ERA for the Rays. Just didn't look like he had it. Did strike out more than a batter per inning, but had 8 walks in 19 innings, which is not super great, not super what you're looking for. Also 3 home runs in those 19 innings, also not great, also not super what you're looking for. But let's say 2 years, $20 million for him, $10 million average annual value on that payroll at $101 million, which that would pass last year's $98 million. With $10 million left to spare. This last guy, this guy who has been a Ranger, maybe setting things right for a trade that acquired him, that the Rangers acquired him for, that at the time I said was a amazing, absolute steal. The only way that this could be a bad deal for the Rangers is if his arm falls off, and his arm fell off after one inning. Boy, that magical one inning. The guy I'm talking about is Corey Kluber. Hashtag bring Corey home. In this scenario, only a 2-time Cy Young winner, a 3-time All-Star, a guy with an ERA title, had a decent season with the Yankees last year, threw a no-hitter against the Rangers, not super fun. Started 16 games, had a 3.83 ERA, pitched 80 innings, struck out 82, was fine, was all around fine, solid. You get that veteran presence around the Rangers, and you get these young guys, seeing a guy who has been a phenomenal pitcher, has won multiple Cy Youngs, has been in the top 10 of the Cy Young for a 5-year span every single year, and won 2 in that span. Obviously not quite the same level of pitcher, but a solid starter. I think the Rangers would bet on them keeping him healthy. Obviously they felt good about keeping him healthy when they traded for him, and that didn't happen, but, you know, why not? That puts the payroll at $111 million. Boom, that's your worst case scenario. For the Rangers offseason, they still add an electric Javi Baez, a Tommy Pham who's maybe got something left in him, and 2 veteran pitchers who, gosh, that would be sad. I've made myself sad. I played myself. But again, the Rangers would at least be adding a player who's electric and fun and how he buys. I would try and talk myself into it, but this would be a sad scenario if the Rangers ended up doing it with their thing. So Javi Baez, Tommy Pham, Chris Archer, Corey Kluber. That's the worst case scenario. That's bottom of the barrel. I don't think this happens. I don't think they're super in on Javi Baez. I do think that he would be the last minute quick pivot. We got to do something. We talked all this game and nobody's left. We got to do something. So if those big three shortstops all sign somewhere else, hang on to your butts, because Javi Baez might be a Texas Ranger. But in that case, I could talk myself into him. But I'd rather not. I'd really just rather not do that. But that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. I'll be back on Friday. Unless there's some major breaking news, the Rangers actually like do something on Thanksgiving or today, Wednesday, or Friday morning, which I don't really foresee happening, then I'll pivot and we'll do something else and we'll move that episode to Monday. But as of this point, let's plan on a best-case scenario for Friday's episode. So thank you for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. Make sure to go follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. Follow the show at Locked On Rangers. Go subscribe on YouTube. Also, check at Locked On Rangers Twitter account. They retweeted a poll that I did asking hypothetically, who would you want the Rangers to sign of the big four? I did not actually put Javi Baez in there because, again, this is the worst case scenario. But I asked, who would you want hypothetically of the big middle infielders with Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, Trevor Story, and Marcus Semien? I put hypothetical years on the deals, which is the years that I think it would take the Rangers to get them, not necessarily somebody else. But go vote on that. I'm going to do an episode on that next week once that poll finishes. And I'm just interested to hear your thoughts. But thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On Rangers. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.